Now, I heard tell that somebody here on the team used to live in a place where they like made it rain for a week on a street she lived on. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I did. since we just had the fake rain land on our roof.
You know,
we were starting the show.
It was funny because as soon as we sat down and I hit the record button, it just starts going. And I'm like, tropical rainforest, tropical rainforest.
And that is unfortunate when they do that because they made it rain for an entire week once on my street to film a movie.
Do you remember what the movie was?
I want to say it was something.
It Never Rains in New York?
No, wasn't that. It was, I mean, they were on Wall Street, so it was something.
Ooh,
was it Raining Money? Was it Gordon Gekko?
It would have been in the, it would have been in like the early 2000s, like 2003.
So too late for Glenn Ross.
So they filmed that for a whole week, and we had been having a really dry summer, so they just made it rain.
Okay. Were you an extra? Did you get any shots?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe. I was usually a lot brighter than most of the other people that were walking on Wall Street, so, because they were wearing their dark suits, and I was usually wearing something.
Oh, well, you wouldn't have fit in
colorful,
at all then.
So they probably didn't want me there.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, I'll take that up and say, hey, y'all. From the sunny lands, it's Tales from the Cask with your friends Chip, Tony, and Jen. We're here to talk about beer, share some beer news, drink some great brews, and see who might just have flown in recently from the West Coast to our little bar here in Raleigh, North Carolina. So grab a seat at the bar, grab a frosty malt beverage, and let's have some fun. Yes, we had a lot of fun in the past, and we're going to have fun in the future because you guys are going to get like two different weeks all in one episode.
Yet another flashback and forward.
Was it MGEL that we were confusing the other week?
I think so.
He called out Primer, and we talked about that last week.
Yes, I think we've confused a few people.
Yeah, we confused ourselves.
Even myself.
Yes.
Tony does get confused.
I thought I was going to duck out this week.
Yeah.
Chip said, absolutely not.
No. We've had enough ducking out.
Yeah.
You guys deserve all three of us.
Mm-hmm. Phantom Power.
If you're a longtime regular listener or a new listener, you know, two of us are good, but the three of us, you know, that's what causes award-winning podcasting when you get the whole team together.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So how
cinematic
is your
cinematic gold?
Yes, cinematic audio gold.
Audio gold.
So everybody having a good week? Yeah.
Tuesday so far so good.
It's a Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally we do this on Wednesdays.
Yeah. I wish it was a little closer to the weekend.
It's been
a little crazy so far, but.
Yes, we've got brewery partners coming in and out all over the place, and that's always exciting this time of year. Well, any time of year, but we've got a lot going on, and we just got an exciting new brewery, which we talked about last week a little bit from San Diego, Ballast Point.
Mm-hmm.
And through the magic of technology, we are going to take you back to a simpler time, a time when Ballast Point had been here a week earlier, or a week,
a week earlier,
yes, in the building. And you're going to enjoy that in just a little bit. But there's something you got to get through before, unless you're going to skip ahead, which I hope you don't. I hope you don't skip ahead.
We need some news.
There's news. And we have the news, starting with Fox News. You know, they say what you want about their political leanings. They do a lot of beer stories, and I love that.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. I love the beer stories. And this week they're calling out some shocking world beer records. So are you ready to hear some of these?
Yep.
Okay. You know, they say maybe pulling off bottle caps with your teeth not your superpower. And they say we're not sure whether the man who did an Indian man named Merle KC was drunk or sober at the time, but he performed this feat in Bangalore, India, and holds the record for most bottle caps removed with teeth in 1 minute. That's got a smart.
With his own teeth. Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, you've been in situations where you've had like a bottle and nothing to open it and you try to improvise.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do that. He just with his teeth.
I usually go with the, you know, side of a counter or something.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Before my teeth.
If you get it on the first try, it's cool.
Yeah. But you can always break the glass pretty easily, too. So,
God, I feel like this is in my head now, so I'm going to be tempted to do it.
I may or may not have lost a hotel deposit before because of that.
You know, there's a reasonable deductible on our dental coverage, so Think before you try to pop that tooth, okay? All
right. What next? Yeah.
All right, there's others. Shocking records, remember? Shocking. John Evans of the UK balanced 11 empty beer kegs on his head for 10 seconds.
I want empties. To have an ale with that guy.
How is that even remotely possible?
I don't know. Maybe, I'm sure there's a picture
empty,
of it.
You're talking
empty.
20 pounds. I think they're...
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Because I've mailed one in the U.S. mail recently, and I think it was 22 pounds for a big keg. They're probably using European, so I'm going to say that's 150 pounds on the top of your head.
That's a lot.
And
to balance it.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's just kind of
difficult. I wonder if he had people like spotters on the side, maybe balancers or something.
Should talk to him. That'd be good for Jim's team.
No doubt. Okay. There's a fine line between collecting and hoarding. 14-year-old Ron Werner of the United States has been collecting beer bottles. 1,000 on average every year. He's got 25,966 by 2012. That is the largest collection of beer bottles. Okay. So here's a couple of others real quick. Largest glass of beer.
Oh, yeah.
Poured at the Fleece Countryside Inn in Yorkshire, England.
Sweet.
Yeah.
In honor of the Tour de France, contains 3,664 pints of beer. Is that like a Googleplex of beer? Mm.
A Googleplex?
Yeah, it's a, it's a big one.
Hope they had that in moderation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's just a Plex. I don't know. Fastest time to open 2,000 beer bottles.
Hmm. That's a nice record.
Okay. Krunoslav Budiselic.
You got it.
From Croatia. 2,000 bottles of beer in 28 minutes, 11 seconds. A lot of thirsty people, I hope, were in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Jeepers.
He 2000. Poured them all into that three.
Maybe that's what went into the 3,664 pint thing.
He could get a job at Hooters easily.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know.
Well,
maybe the bar.
Maybe. That's what I'm
saying. Maybe the bar, yeah. Okay. okay. The most bottle caps in 1 minute. We talked about Murali KC, 68.
68.
In 1 minute. In Bengaluru, India. And we already talked about the kegs on the head. So a lot of crazy records with beer.
Yeah, those are shocking.
They are shocking.
They're still kind of hurting
now. Yeah. I feel like I've been grinding my teeth now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know.
I'm not opening a bottle with my teeth. I'm sorry. Okay, moving on. Let's go to New York.
Beautiful town.
Ithaca. You've been there.
We've several times.
Yes, yes.
Been to this pub.
Okay. Well, the Bandwagon Brewery has named a beer after Ithaca Mayor Svante Myrick. It's called Svante's Legislative Session IPA, and it's unveiled today, actually, while we're recording this at 6:15. So obviously, you're not going to be able to be there right now, but if we could, we would go there to North Cayuga Street. And back in June, Bandwagon approached the mayor to ask if they could name a beer after him. So I'm not sure why. They don't really say why.
And, I'm guessing it's Svante's Legislative Session IPA. And New York is very, very progressive right now on laws. So I'm betting that's got something to do with farm-to-table ingredients with Bandwagon.
Like
using them and less taxation.
Okay.
Cuomo was just actually nominated as one of the beer people of the year, beer innovators of the year, Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Because of his
legislative prowess.
Say, is he brewing on the side?
I bet he is. He's a beer head.
Now, the Colorado guy is a brewer, right?
Governor
of Colorado.
Yeah.
Hickenlupa. Lupa.
Look at that. The middle of that Venn diagram is happy voters, I think.
There you go. So. Right in the center. I like that. Okay. Let's move down south. Let's go to Florida.
Cool.
Okay. Daytona Beach News Journal has a nice report on what's going on with the Florida beer battles. They've had this funky thing, and we've talked about it before on the show, about having growlers and allowing retailers to do sales like that. And they've had breweries fighting tooth and nail to prevent this for some reason. It's never been quite clear to me why they wouldn't want people to have the ability to sample growlers. Seems like that they've been able to work out something where some of the big brewers are now going to go along with it. And, you know, we've had growlers in our state for, 6 months, 8 months now?
Yeah, I was going to say almost not quite a year.
And we certainly are selling some really interesting beers that
going out in growlers.
Yeah, that would not be out unless you were in a bar or restaurant for people to consume. And so I think it's worked out pretty well in our market, don't you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, say the last month or two, it's really taken off.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, it's a great time of year for
yeah. Well, especially in, some of the places where, you know, maybe you live a little further outside the city limits and you don't have a bar that has as many crazy things on tap.
Yeah.
You can still get them at your local retailer.
Right. Yeah. Some of the more out of town bars tend not to have the selection mm-hmm. that somebody in town might have. And so everybody gets to try some of the great, great beers that are coming out these days.
Who will be the first brewery to name a beer or make a beer for growler stations? I bet that's coming anytime. The growler beer specialists.
So, okay, quick growler beer name. What would be a great growler name? Gator Growler.
The Howler.
The Howler Growler. There you go. Howler Growler.
Somebody will do it. I'm telling you. I can feel it.
All right. Well, if you find a
brew to go.
Special beer made just for growlers in your market, let us know because we want to report on that. We want to bring the news to everyone that it's finally happened.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is an article we talked about just before we turned on the recording device. Mm-hmm. And this is from Wired. Your beer attracts fruit flies on purpose. You know, if you leave a beer out, all sorts of insects might be attracted to the beer. But those of us in the beer business will tell you that if you have anything that's had beer in it, it doesn't just attract any old insect in a kind of volume. It attracts fruit flies in a volume.
Nasty.
Mm-hmm. We used to, in our market, and I believe some markets in the country still sell returnable bottles, which were really big before recycling hit. And we would bring back returnable bottles, and there would be a corner of our warehouse that there was nothing you could do. There were going to be fruit flies. And we just figured, well, it's the beer. They like the beer. Well, they've done research, and it's not just the beer. It's a specific thing in the beer. You want to guess what thing it might be?
Saccharomyces cerevisiae.
And what is that for the lay people?
Yeast.
That would be yeast. Exactly. And this particular yeast has been attracting fruit flies for millennia, nay, millions of years, according to the scientists that are talked about in the article. And it just happens that beer, this particular yeast is in a lot of beers. You know, there's brewer's yeast that are proprietary and whatnot, but once the beer is made, other yeasts, particularly once if you've got an empty bottle and it's not completely rinsed, yeasting happens and the fruit flies find it and they love it. So really, really interesting article. For those of us, particularly in the business, who didn't really know why, other than we figured mm-hmm. fruit flies like to party just yeah, like just everybody like else. Yeah. Last but not least, from Thrillist, they have a list of the 5 biggest mistakes you make with your beer. And writer Zach Mack has what he believes are the 5 biggest mistakes and how you can fix them. Number 1, you are frosting your glasses. He says that contrary to what your local sports bar may want you to believe, the frosty mug is not enhancing your experience. It causes beer to foam, kills carbonation, kills aroma.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of keeping your glass in the freezer, keep it clean. We've already talked about beer clean mm-hmm. glassware repeatedly. And keep it in the cabinet. Rinse it with cold water to get dust and odors out, and then do the perfect pour.
It's amazing how many people still do the frosted mug.
Well, it goes back to what's the coldest beer, right? Mm-hmm. I really want my beer cold. I want ice in it so I can't
the next
taste it.
Yeah.
You just funnel it then.
Yeah, seriously.
Inject it.
They just want you to drink it super fast.
Super fast.
Then all the bubbles release in your stomach, and then you get super full.
Yeah.
And you get in a fight mm-hmm. with your spouse and at the restaurant. And I just don't drink your beer cold. I don't know. I think
Tony's going on a tangent with this.
Not super cold. Super cold super is not what you want to do at all.
I think that's item number 2.
Yeah. It is. Actually. Number 2 is drinking it too cold. People like to brag about beers being cold. Anybody out there, old timers, remember Colder's 29? It was supposed to be extra cold, and it was brewed at 29 degrees.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man.
And it was not the most flavorful beer we ever sold. And there's a reason why we don't sell it anymore. So there's an entire science to proper serving temperatures for different styles of beer. Most experts recommend taking some of these styles out of the beer at least 10 minutes before you drink them. So you get those esters and aromas, and that enhances what you're getting out of your beer experience. You don't want ice cold beer unless you don't want to taste it. And some people maybe don't want to taste the beer. They don't like the taste of beer, so get it icy. But if you want to really get the full beer experience, you know, you go to the UK, they don't serve you ice cold beer. Number three, you're storing it in the wrong place or the wrong container. They talk about skunked beer, of course, light struck. We've talked about both of those issues with beer. Beer does not like heat, contrary to the ice cold thing. It still likes to be cold, but not too cold. And beer doesn't like light. And again, keeping it in a cool, mm-hmm. dark place, that's where beer likes to be. That's where beer's happy. And you can, as we've talked about, skunking can happen within minutes of exposing beer to light.
Yep.
And we did you guys did the experiment here.
Yeah.
Just outside.
Yep.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Put them up on the window 5 minutes for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And granted, it was summer, so it was very easier. Bright.
Yeah.
Sun.
Those isomers.
Yeah. 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 But so it all breaks down. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number four, you're holding on to it for too long.
I like to sit with it.
I do. I don't think he's talking about at the bar. I think he's talking about like, you know, you keep it in the fridge for months at the time. Yeah. Because beer.
We have had a beer or two that Tony may have opened up that should have drank a little bit sooner.
Yeah. Maybe it was a little past its prime.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of things affect that. The amount of hops in it.
Yep.
The more hoppy, the shorter the life tends to be.
Yep.
The more alcohol, the longer the life tends to be. You know, a Speedway Stout at 12% can last a long time, even not refrigerated, although it's better refrigerated. So you don't cellar beer typically.
Contrary to popular belief, the more rare it is, the longer it does not age. So
right. It's not like wine.
Traders.
Yeah. And even wine aficionados will tell you there's a certain point of diminishing returns, and it depends on the wine. There are some wines that are made to be drunk like it was last year's vintage, and you need to drink it in the next year or two because that's how it was made. And you can get a Bordeaux that you really should wait 10 years before you even think about opening the bottle. It's all how it's made, and same thing with beers.
I would imagine we're going to be learning more about that very soon.
I think we could. I think we could. Okay. Last one. You're overthinking it. People, you know, freak out. They don't know all the lingo. What's an IBU? You know, single variety hop, house cultivated yeast strains. Hey, it's beer. Try it. See if you like it. Don't worry about being a beer snob.
And the beer is the about it.
Beer's the anti-snob drink, right? It's for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Just have an ale.
It's an affordable luxury.
It is.
I mean, you think about it. The best beers in the world, you can get a six pack. Like the best beers, $14-15 for a six pack.
Tops.
Yeah. And you can't get a great bottle of wine for $14. But you can get some of the best beers ever made for $14. So keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Don't overthink it. Okay. That's
good
the news.
News.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good
All
news.
Right. Now I think we're going to venture to the past.
Mm-hmm.
Deep past, almost a whole week ago. Actually,
I think I may have mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah. So
get in the van.
if you're listening and all of a sudden Jen stops talking, well, that's because she'd had enough of us and decided to mosey on.
Yeah.
No, actually, she
slowly backed away and left.
Yeah.
I was holding a box of beer too.
That's right. That's right. And hopefully you didn't hear it clinking around while she was getting up.
Mm-hmm.
So with no further ado, let's go talk with Earl and Chris.
Here we go.
From Ballast Point. You remember last week when we had Jen Litz on from Craft Business Daily? Remember the beers we had? Quick, do you remember what brewery it was? What brewery was it?
That was from San Diego, right?
Yep, was it San Diego? So. Very good. Very good. Which San Diego brewery could have been?
Might have been Ballast Point.
Ballast Point, yes. And they were three killer beers, weren't they?
We always had quite a few extra beers that we wanted to try from them.
I know.
If, we had to if find only, some more people.
If only somebody from Ballast Point were here today.
How do we get them on the show?
Gosh. Look who's wandering in. Hey.
How's it going?
It's Earl and Chris from Ballast Point. Earl Kite and Chris Marin, how are you guys today?
Doing excellent. Doing a little better once we crack in a couple of those beers today.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, from wandering the streets and highways of the great state of North Carolina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you've been all over the state today already, right?
Greensboro, High Point, I think I touched by accident because I got lost. Raleigh, and I'll end up my evening in Wilmington.
Wilmington, wow. Almost coast to coast.
It is coast to coast.
Did it?
Because I started in San Diego.
You went to San Diego this morning. There you go.
Last night at 10:30.
So you could have put your feet in the Pacific last night, and you can tonight put your feet in the Atlantic Ocean.
I will take a romantic walk of there one on the beach this evening.
Well, is Chris going to be with you? Maybe you guys could,
You never know. You never know if I'm going to tag along. Like, I might just show up in his trunk, pop out with a sculpin for him and a little lighter so he can see his way on the beach.
Nice.
Well, the Atlantic Ocean should still be nice and warm.
So yes. Not like chilly it's probably in the 60s, the water down in San Diego this time of year, right? Maybe 50s.
Is that right, Chris?
Yeah. It's probably about 70. It was a good year. Good for fishing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was so hot all year for you guys. Yeah. Crazy. Well, we are so happy you wandered into the bar because we love Ballast Point, and we've only been working with you for a week, 10
October 1st.
A couple days.
Well, it's the 15th now.
Oh, that's true. We've gone back to the future yet again. We're so good at that.
Yep.
But yeah, we are delighted you're here. And before you get to try the beers, though, we want to ask you a few questions.
Mm-hmm. And usually we do have some beers for this, but we got kicked out of our bar.
We got booted from the regular bar.
So
yeah, we're in the double secret location.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in the building.
The ambiance is a little better in here.
I was gonna say what?
Yeah.
Well, it's brighter in here. You don't have that hotter bar feeling. Right. It is warmer in here. Yeah. So but we have beer to cool us down. Right. Okay, so Earl.
Yes, sir.
Where are you from? How'd you get started in this wacky business?
Well, it's funny. Coming back to North Carolina, I spent 16 years with R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company, 2 years right down the street in Winston-Salem. Mm-hmm. Decided one day I didn't want to sell tobacco, and I left R.J. Reynolds. I went over to Miller Brewing Company. It lasted all of a year. and then I went to a very large Miller distributor in San Diego, and in a 3-year process there, we started bringing in a lot of craft beer brands. And the gem of the brands that we acquired the distribution of was Ballast Point.
Right.
They were self-distributing for about, 9 or 10 years before we found them.
Okay.
And then we worked with Jack White, the owner, brought the distribution rights in. 3 years later, I went over to Ballast Point as a consultant with the plan that I was going to leave at some point, and it's been 6 years later, and I haven't left. So
stuck with it.
Stayed there.
Awesome.
It's the place is like quicksand.
Okay. Chris, how'd you get started with Ballast Point?
A little bit different route. I was hanging out at my local fish taco joint in Ocean Beach, drinking Yellowtail, Ballast Point Pale Ale, late at night, 250 fish tacos, 250 Ballast Points. And about 5 years ago, one day they put this beer called Sculpin on. And I had one drink, and I was just like, oh, my God, how did you make that? And it really sparked my interest. So one day I wander in the tasting room, and must have caught Amber and Earl after they had a couple beers, and they were crazy enough to hire me. So started in the tasting room. We rapidly expanded the tap room in Scripps Ranch, doing tours, just about everything, running events. And one day Earl approaches me, and probably after a couple beers again, and asked if I wanted to move to Texas.
Texas?
Said okay. About a month later, I drove a big van with no windows out to Texas, and drove that around. Even Earl's first trip out there, we hopped around in it. And now that's been about a year and a half. Now I'm over in Atlanta, so it's kind of brought me from 4 different time zones away to be out here in the great state of North Carolina.
You did seem very comfortable in my van with no windows today. It felt like old times.
Was it weird? I just hopped right in the back.
Yeah, right in the.
So you're originally from San Diego?
Yes, yes. Okay. 27 years there. You're in Texas now, in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Earl, where are you from originally?
I'm a San Diego native also. I was born there.
Okay.
But I left when I was 3. I grew up in New York.
Oh, okay. And you came home.
I went full, so I came back to spawn.
You did.
Upstream and all.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Fighting past the bears, all that stuff.
I got you. Well, a lot of bears in Southern California.
Yeah, well,
there's Bruins.
There's a bear.
I guess, but you got to go to Los Angeles for that, right? Yeah, okay. All right, so Ballast Point. What is Ballast Point? Where is Ballast Point? Where did that name come from?
Christopher, go ahead. Take it away.
So Ballast Point, we do like our beer. We do like our history. Back before Google was the search engine available, Jack White was down at the library kind of researching, you know, historical San Diego names. The kind of surfing thing was kind of exhausted, you know, the pizza ports and other breweries on the California coast. So in the library, found a little point in San Diego where the early explorers would come into the bay, drop off their cargo. Obviously, there was nothing being shipped out of San Diego, so they would grab these stones from this little point in Point Loma and to use as a ballast for their boat back into the headwinds in South America, and all these stones ended up all over the world essentially from that travel. So it was kind of a no-brainer. Went with Ballast Point. Some of our early logos, if you Google them, have the lighthouse that's on actually Ballast Point on your entrance into San Diego Harbor. So it's a historical name.
Oh, cool. Now, some of the brand names that you have, like Sculpin. What is a Sculpin?
Sculpin's a small game fish that can be found. Actually, believe it or not, the Sculpin fish can be found all over the United States in different forms. There's tiny little bitty ones up in the Great Lakes. There's sculpins in rivers. But the sculpin that we have in San Diego is not a very large fish. It's not a pretty fish, probably about 2 feet long when it's an adult, but it makes a fantastic fish taco. And, you know, the name for that beer, you know, the sculpin beer, you know, originally it was named North Star. And the beer was the product of a couple of our home brewers. That from our homebrew shop that we own. Guys were winning gold medals with a couple of IPA recipes. They brought them together with another guy, Colby Chandler, who's our specialty brewer, and they created this recipe, and North Star was born. But shortly thereafter, our artist, Paul Elder, who's been drawing all of our labels since 1996, walked in one day, and they said, "Hey, Paul, you should try this new IPA, man. It's called North Star." And Paul took a sip of it and he said, "Wow, great flavors, floral." He's going on. And then he said, "But it's got a little bit of a sting or a bite at the end, like a sculpin, because a sculpin's got these spiny fins on it that are poisonous." And Paul went home and drew a new label.
Oh, cool.
The Sculpin, and he renamed it in essence, and it became Sculpin after that.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah. It's a goofy little fish, but, you know, we like it.
Now, would you say that Sculpin is kind of your flagship beer, or do you have a flagship
beer? Well, our pale ale, our original beer for the longest time, it's a Kolsch style, which kind of screws with people outside of San Diego because they expect a California pale ale loaded with hops.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We save all of our hops for our IPAs. For the longest time, that's the beer that the pale ale built the brewery.
Right.
And then as we added capacity at one point, we said, "Hey, we should start making more Sculpin." And it got traction. It's about 53-54% of our overall volume now.
Wow.
And growing.
The Sculpin. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. And so the pale ale, but it's still a big player for you, but not like the Sculpin.
Yeah. Pale ale is, you know, the difference is pale ale is growing at, 10-15%.
Right.
And Sculpin is growing at 100%.
Right.
So.
Well, you shared some numbers on the growth that you've had this year. It's just been phenomenal, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, yes. We've got a good team of guys and gals, working on the capacity, working on quality control as we grow, right? That's a big thing, man. If you can, you got to be able to keep your capacity and your QC, in line with each other the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, if you're going to let one get ahead of you, let your quality control get ahead of you.
Sure, right? Sure, right.
So, yeah, it's been, you know, knock on wood.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's been a good 4 or 5.
Good radio
years.
Move there. That was very well done.
Yes.
That gave the audio component too.
Thank you. I watch a lot of, Garrison Keillor.
Okay. So, there you go.
Oh, wow. Nice.
There you go. All right. Well, guys, tell us what's the Ballast Point story? How did the brewery get started? And, I know everybody would love to hear that.
Absolutely. So, Jack White, after going up to college, he didn't really want to wear, a 3-piece suit every day. So he actually took up homebrewing in college when his soon to be, father-in-law offered him one of beers. Here, try my homebrew.
Right.
And Jack was kind of like, homebrew. So he didn't really, he wasn't really in with the homebrew before that, but that kind of opened his world to that. So essentially him and his roommate, moved all their stuff to one side of the room. The other side of the room, they turned into a little brewery in college. After that, he moved back down to San Diego, started a little homebrew mart, which is still there to this day, with our original brewing in the back. And that was 1992.
Okay.
So Jack was a guy from the coast. The only shop in town was kind of a heavy on the wine supplies, and it was very far inland, which living on the coast feels like driving to Texas from the San Diego coast.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Opened up one down close to the coast. It started the brewery in 1996. Ballast Point Specialty Ale was the first beer ever brewed. That's actually now been kind of transformed into our Calico Amber, still our most award-winning beer out there. Fantastic kind of ESB style recipe. But so that was slow growth for a long time. It was Jack and Youssef, brewing, distributing, selling. Jack has essentially fired himself from every job in the brewery as he finds more talent out there.
Right.
You know, we opened up a 50-barrel brew house that was used in 2006 up in Scripps Ranch. This year is really exciting for us. We opened up a little 3-barrel R&D system and kind of by accident opened up a restaurant that has actually killer food, including fish tacos.
Well, I think of course, that's it's San Diego.
I think that's the third time we mentioned fish tacos during an interview. That must be some sort of record. I come from the San Diego Kid, no longer in San Diego. I really miss those fish tacos.
Yeah. They don't have those in Atlanta.
No, not really. But other good food.
They have varsity hamburgers. I've eaten a lot of those.
Oh, those are good. Yeah, very good.
Maybe we'll start a fish taco chain out there.
There you go.
Not a bad idea.
That's another expansion opportunity for the brewery.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. 2010 was kind of a big year for us. We won best small brewery in the world at the World Beer Cup, kind of the most competitive category.
Wow.
For any brewery, the most award that just kind of really everyone respects out there. We won 3 gold medals, Sculpin IPA, Fathom IPL, and our barrel aged Piper Down, and that really, really kind of put us on the map for people outside of our home market. And since then we've added just this year the restaurant 3-barrel system, and we're building out 106,000 square foot brew right now with 150 barrel copper brew house. Kind of some of the guys we looked up to in California, Anderson Valley, Sierra Nevada, and Anchor Steam.
Right.
All have those nice big copper brew houses. And now it's kind of a cool feeling that we actually have one.
Oh, that's cool.
Right inside.
We took a lap around right when that thing was getting set up, going in a little while ago. So pretty beautiful.
Back in the summer when you guys were out there? Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
If you even walked back in that building now, I'll be back there in a month, and I go back once every 3 months. It blows my mind how that's progressing. Everyone is just working so hard.
When's it supposed to be open?
We're brewing on it.
Right.
We're brewing on it. The restaurant, I think in a week or two more, that tasting room's going to open up.
Tasting room opened up on October 14th, which is the anniversary day of the restaurant also. So it'll be 1 year anniversary for the restaurant.
Okay.
We opened the tasting bar in our Miramar location, the big one, on October 14th. We ran out of money building the brewery, so we had to push off the actual kitchen part for another couple of months, and then we'll be good to go. So.
Wow. That's incredible. Explosive growth. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you've been expanding across the country, and you've been on the East Coast for a while now, a few years?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. First place we shipped outside of San Diego was Philadelphia.
Really? Why Philly?
This distributor, Bella Vista, little street fighter. They just kind of hit, home with us. They were fans of our beer.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like the right place to go. Our distribution network and patterns is a little schizophrenic, to say the least. We ended up going places where we had friends and distributors.
Right.
We didn't pick out a state and say, let's go conquer that state. It didn't happen. We've got states where we have one distributor and we only cover a quarter of the state.
Wow.
Because we haven't gone back to finish it up.
Right.
Because we've been a little busy other places. So,
sure.
So we're in about, we think, last count, I was counting yesterday, 26 states.
Okay.
Or 26 states, but not full states.
Right.
We dabble some international activity because we want to travel. Right. So, we give a reason to go get on airplanes. We sent Chris, the kid who's never been out of San Diego that has now lived in Austin and Atlanta. We sent him to Australia.
Okay.
In place of me one time. And I called him and said, hey, Chris, you got a passport? And he said, no. And I said, well, go to the post office and get one expedited. You're going to Melbourne. So,
wow.
Pretty cool, right?
It was absolutely awesome. $24 a six pack for Big Eye IPA, worth every penny.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're only going to eight places: Austin, Atlanta, Australia, Andorra next, maybe, or Australia.
Who knows? We're starting to look at lunar launches. I heard you could have a manned mission to Mars now. So look to every possibility out there.
Chris is like the son I never had. So
the son with a face built for radio.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. There you go. Well, I noticed you hide it under the cap. So. Check out our Instagram feed and you'll see the cap.
The hair is actually connected to the cap.
My partner, Jeff, has a hat that has hair connected to it. Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
So he went to a meeting one time and it was a legal meeting and he freaked out a lot of people. So I always enjoy that. So being a craft brewer, you guys have had meteoric growth. I mean, the whole category has done so well for the last few years, but you have particularly done well. You guys are a top 50 brewer now, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just happened in the last year?
It happened in the last year. We've added capacity at the right times.
Right.
And we do it within our means. Jack doesn't take on any investors. We use banks for funding, and we plan really well.
Okay.
And it's paid off.
Right.
And we got what we found is we have quite the portfolio of brands. You know, we're a company built by homebrewers,
right,
that continually come up with new ideas, new brands, new styles of beers. We make 50 or 60 different styles. A lot of them draft only.
Right.
Grunion, that just won, gold at the Great American Beer Festival. The artwork for the label is done.
Nice.
We just don't have the packaging yet.
Right.
It's been around. Grunion was a homebrewer's recipe from an internal homebrew contest from a year and a half ago. But, you know, there's another beer that all of a sudden, when that comes out, it'll, you know, that volume just goes.
Yeah. Right. So. Right. Oh, that's cool.
Great. That's a big deal. Congrats on that.
Yeah. We don't have any classically trained brewmasters. Yusuf Chernay, who's our head brewer, head distiller, was a philosophy major in college, all self-taught home brewer. He's a self-taught distiller.
Wow.
Because we're also a distillery.
Yeah.
And, the guys take a lot. I mean, and gals take a lot of pride in winning brewing awards.
Right.
So we enter contests around the world. And if we hear we're going to win, we go and we stand up on stage and get it. So
whether
it's the Euro Beer Star Awards or the Australian Festival or the, you know, Great Yokohama Beer Festival, we're there.
So really the whole thing with entering these exotic locales is just so you can travel? Is that why you're doing it, honestly?
A lot of it is, yeah. We like to get around. Yusuf, well, it's funny. Yusuf is at the – I just saw a Facebook posting before I came in, and he's at the San Diego airport getting ready to head to Germany. He's going to do a talk at an event, and he's doing a little shopping for some more equipment over there.
So, oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you know, I'm getting kind of thirsty, Tony. Do we have,
it's time.
Have some beer?
Let's do
okay.
it.
Okay. Tony's going to maneuver over towards the I think we're over in the we are in the Annex bar today, so you won't hear the whole draft system in the background.
Yeah, I could use a beer, man. I'm a little parched.
When you and you have the long trip to Wilmington later, so
yeah. So I'll take it easy.
A little sip or two just to quench the thirst is good. So next plans for the brewery, continued expansion. Are you looking at other states in the next year or two, or are you just trying to consolidate and supply everybody you got?
Well, 3 years ago, we thought, you know, our business plan was we were going to be in 36 states 3 years ago.
Okay.
And, you know, we weren't expecting existing markets to drink up all the beer that we were adding, all the capacity. So right now, we kind of we don't know what we don't know as far as existing markets and what's going to happen. So North Carolina, where we are right now, has always been an existing market.
Right.
And I think we're going to find that we just recently switched distributors. We went from an independent guy who did a fantastic job for us for a while across the state. But to get a little deeper and to get some activity in the chains, we switched over to Miller Coors Houses.
Right.
And we don't know what's going to happen from that.
Right.
You know? So it's pretty interesting.
Okay.
What are we pouring here?
Starting with the one you were talking about, actually, when we first met, some Wahoo White.
Oh.
Yeah.
Christopher, what do you know about the Wahoo White?
So Wahoo White, this is actually the second beer Ballast Point ever brewed way back in 1996. Just a Belgian style wit. Fantastic for a beach day in that warm weather. Kind of back to our homebrew roots and people always messing around. Earl mentioned our R&D brewer, Colby Chandler, has a big background in the fine dining industry. So, I mean, we'll take this beer, we'll throw Thai chilies, lime, and ginger in it. Just to kind of play around with it, have that food aspect to it. We love doing things like that. This is one of the Ballast Point originals. And as you can see, you may be able to see from a couple of those pictures, the nice Wahoo fish on there, which goes great in a fish taco, believe it or not.
A fish taco? Is that a popular item in San Diego?
We actually went to the restaurant after.
Did you guys have fish tacos while you were there?
I did.
Okay. Okay.
And that's in Little Italy, right? The restaurant.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the fish taco, is that merely a lunch item? Do you have it for supper? Or do you have it at breakfast? Is there like a breakfast fish taco?
I think it's more of a 24/7 thing.
24/7. Okay. We've had it twice since we've been on the show today. So
yeah. Okay. Well, this is really, really nice.
What do you guys think?
I'm pumped to sell this one because this actually fills a little gap in our portfolio.
It's just great.
It's going to be warm here in North Carolina. It's warm today.
Yeah.
We like this kind of beer. You know, when everybody else is done making them, we like to be able to still keep rolling them. That's one cool thing about all the beers you guys make. There's a style for everybody in there.
Well, one of the interesting things, you know, everybody gets all caught up in hops, 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 right?
Right.
We also have the added element that we really pay attention to is yeast, yeast, mm-hmm. yeast.
Right.
We're good buddies with the folks at White Labs in San Diego. Chris White started his yeast company back in the 90s at the same time Jack was starting his brewery. We use, was it 5 or 6 different strains of yeast, Chris, right now in the brewery?
From White Labs?
Yeah.
I think an infinite amount with all the different styles we have going on.
We have five going at Scripps Ranch, but, you know, the yeast is imparting a lot of the flavor. So, mm-hmm. you know, the Wahoo that you're drinking right now, picking up those little bit of bubblegum flavors in their sub, that's all coming from the yeast.
Okay.
I believe we have, is that Calico right there?
We do have Calico.
Yeah, Calico Amber Ale using our house yeast strain. Imparts a certain flavor. And we use that yeast in our whiskey also.
Okay.
Our bourbon,
oh, wow. So, okay. Yeah. Well, tell us about the distillery. That's something, a couple of brewers. I know Anchor has a distillery.
Yeah. And Anchor does, Dogfish Head, yeah. Rogue, does also. You got some other folks talking about getting into it.
Yeah.
You know, it really started as a hobby for us. You know, Yusuf was the driving force. You know, his thought process is that you become a award-winning home brewer, then you should become a commercial brewer, then an award-winning commercial brewer, then you should go on to distilling, right? So we got our license to distill about 6 years ago, and really the goal was to make whiskey and bourbon. It's the brown stuff that makes the world go round.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Right? But you got to age it. In the state of California, we have to age whiskey or bourbon. To be able to call it whiskey, we have to age it for a minimum of 4 years.
Okay.
So in the interim, what do? You make the white stuff, right? So, you know, we make white rum. We make an outstanding London dry style gin. We make vodka. It was funny. Yusuf didn't want to make vodka because he wasn't in the business of making something taste like nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we do have a series of flavored vodkas.
Okay.
And we were sitting around one day trying to figure out what should we name these things. And we were all arguing and I got a little irritated. So I went off to the taco shop, right? To go get a
fish taco.
And I opted not to get the fish taco. I went with the bean and cheese burrito with a hint of sour cream.
Okay.
And I was thinking, man, I'm thirsty. And I said, I'll have a horchata. And I was like, wait a second. That's it. We're going to make a series of vodkas all around the flavors you find in a taco shop.
Wow. Nice.
So we have horchata, which is the rice milk and cinnamon. We have Jamaica, which is hibiscus. Okay. It's like a red looking, sweeter vodka. We have piña, which is pineapple.
Right.
Then we have habanero.
Ooh, right, which, spicy.
It's pairs well with our Bloody Mary mix.
I was going to say.
Uh-huh. Which we also make a Bloody Mary mix and we make a Mai Tai mix, both driving forces of Yusuf Chernay, head brewer and distiller, Mr. Creative.
Oh, that's great.
When he's not jetting around the world. So.
All right. So what are we drinking now, Tony?
We actually cracked the Calico. Here.
Okay.
So Tony, tell
us about the Calico.
Calico, if you have the camera out, is actually one of the most beautiful beers you could look at in a pint glass or a plastic solo cup. It's like I mentioned earlier, this is one of the first beers we ever made. Back in 1996, it was released on Nitro, Ballast Point Specialty Ale, and Yusuf and Jack took it around town, and they kind of got laughed at around town just because it was kind of ahead of its time. Now we make this Ballast Point Copper Ale on Nitro. Wow. We can't make enough of it because it is just so creamy and smooth on Nitro. But this, back to the original recipe, 2001, as soon as it was kind of reformulated, won a gold medal out of the gate. It's won a gold medal at the World Beer Cup. It's won a gold medal at Euro Beer Star Awards. There's not too many beers that have done that. For an amber ale, I think it's a 96 on rate beer, world-class amber. But what kind of sets it apart, as we were talking about earlier, Tony, is that it has the big malt complexity you want to have an amber ale. But as home brewers, we kind of thought we want to make it taste a little bit different. So we stepped up the hop bitterness on this one, adding kind of taking a playoff of ESB recipe and adding mm-hmm. those Pacific Northwest hops, Centennial, Cascades, to give that nice piney, citrusy, tingly finish. This is the beer you want if you have a restaurant, because there's not a better beer that pairs up, whether something simple like a burger, pizza, wings. This is the go-to. 5.5%, super sessionable, but has all the flavor in the world.
Yeah, this is awesome.
It's funny. We just went to Oregon and Washington for the first time last summer. They've got a lot of ambers up there, and we don't sell a ton of Calico in Southern California, right? Because it's hops, hops, hops.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And then all of a sudden we realized we were running out of Calico. It was the Pacific Northwest drinking it all up.
Really?
And yeah, we that style was very welcomed up there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the great state of Georgia for some unknown reason, acquired a taste for calico. So we're selling a significant amount of calico down in Georgia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Atlanta, Athens, I mean, all over?
All over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's great. Chris and I were talking earlier today. This would be another one that we're kind of, would be a good fill in for our portfolio. So once we get rolling, get set up, we'll be making sure we get this out there around here locally.
You can make a nice, two shelf set, three shelves.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Perfect. All right.
I have not had this last one we're going to try here. So we have the Tongue Buckler.
Okay.
Imperial Red Ale. This is a nice one to send us off here. This isn't a 22. So we get to, these pours will go a little further here.
Yeah. We'll hear that. Yeah.
Maybe I'm spending the night tonight, Chris. I'm starting to feel like that.
I only have one bed in the room, so we'll have to bunk up.
I got room in my garage. My cat, she's fine with that. So.
All right. Try not to spill this on the board here.
Well, no, I'm putting it away from the board. There we go. Thank you. Oh, right.
How long has awesome. MIMS been in business?
50 years this summer. 1964, my dad started working for a gentleman who owned a beer distributor and ended up selling it to my dad within 6 months. And he got my grandparents to do a second mortgage on their house. And so we started MIMS in 64, and his brother, my uncle, his twin brother, joined him within a year, and we've been rocking and rolling ever since.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're really excited to.
It's great to hear the good family stories like that in the beer distribution business.
Oh yeah. Well, and it's just the cool thing about craft beer. Well, even though the storied brands that have been around for hundreds of years, Yingling's been almost 200 years.
Yeah.
It's family still, and I just love that we're in an industry where it's still families that run the breweries and sell the beer to the retailers, and many of the retailers are family businesses too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us about this.
So Tongue Buckler, or after a few, Bong Tuckler. like I said, with the amber, the color on it, this has a beautiful deep color too. A lot of the same malts that are going into that calico amber. This is 100+ IBU beer, which they say your palate can only handle up to about 100. But originally, the story goes on this one that it was kind of just a fun project, see how high of IBU we could get a beer. So something like 120 pounds of hops are going into our boil kettle on the 50 barrel system, which is actually really yielding only about 30 barrels because the grain bill is so intense.
Wow.
Once you get it over there. So they rig the forklift right up next to the brew house. And so they don't have to go up down the stairs, 20 times, take all the hops up there. But it also too, it has a great, just like all of our beers, even though we're pushing 107 IBUs, it has a great balance.
Just going to say that it's balanced as
well. Yeah, it really is.
I've had other Imperial Reds that are not
nearly this well done.
Yeah, yeah. Some of these the other day was a local one. I don't know whose it was, but it was like, whew, that was
knock your socks off. Yeah, yeah.
Put sweaters on your teeth,
melt in the teeth enamel. We do always strive for balance. That's one of the things. It has that big, nice, sweet malt profile, and then even a nice big dry hop on it, which kind of floral and fruity. And if you look at this new label that Paul just was working on, we actually did a couple likenesses of our own brewery employees on there. So you can see he's kind of so bitter and so brutal finish on there. He's the pirate has lost his tongue. But just one of the biggest beers out there. I know a lot of people will know us out there for the Sculpins and Victory at Seas of the Worlds. A very high quality portfolio from top to bottom. But this beer, as intense as it is, you get so many people coming right into Insider Brewery that are like, that's my favorite Ballast Point beer ever.
Wow.
The Tongue Buckler.
And what's the ABV in this?
It's just a sessionable 10%.
Yeah, robust.
Chip, I just made an executive decision.
Okay.
I'm going to dinner tonight and staying here tonight.
Yeah, that makes me happy.
I'm going to drink some more Tongue Buckler, and I'm not going to make the ride to Wilmington.
That's 2 hours. You'd rather just get up in the morning fresh and roll. Okay.
I'm an early morning kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there you go. And if you're still kind of on West Coast time, it'll seem even earlier.
I can't follow that.
Okay. Oh, these beers are incredible. You put this up against the lineup we had last week, and we haven't even scratched the surface of 60+ different styles.
You throw our R&D system now where we have employees 2-3 different teams a week, and then Colby and Nate brewing on there. I mean, draft only in San Diego, you're probably looking at 130, 140 different beers.
Yeah.
There was a few that were suitable for early morning time when we actually showed up at the brewery.
Okay.
Earl had a couple set up for us in progression.
Nice.
I think
Well, I told you guys I was at Comic-Con, as people who listen to the show know, back in July, and the Marriott there, six taps, and four of them were Ballast Point. And there are 97 breweries in San Diego County.
At least.
Yeah. And you guys are, you own that town, which is deserved, obviously, because these beers are so incredible.
Well, we think a big part of this thing is having a strong home market. You know,
sure.
We'll run out of stock in most of the states other than California. And we'll never run out in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And one thing we tell the distributors, and I told your cousin, Jeff, when we came down here, is one thing I will guarantee him is I will run out of stock.
So hey, we know retailers don't listen to that. Yeah. Don't listen to that. We're working closely to make sure that doesn't happen.
It keeps the beer real fresh.
We do love fresh beer. We do love fresh beer though.
We have a little saying for one of our other brands here that's increasingly having a little bit of a, or selling a lot of it. And if you're not drinking fresh Foothills Hoppium right now, you need to find a new bar, because
really
we are turning this stuff every day.
They're a local in Winston-Salem that has grown phenomenally in the last couple of years, and they, as many people are doing, are stretched to the limit production wise sometimes. And so yes,
I made Chris drink one today and it looked like it went down okay.
Yeah, he had to force me
to drink that beer.
It was delicious. Shout out to those guys. Yeah. First time having it. It was a great beer.
Awesome.
I asked him if he wanted a beer. He said, no way. I'm like, oh, what kind of ride along is this? You know, but, we got it done.
Was it the morning?
Almost noon.
All right. Yeah. Well, there you go. Late morning. It was noon in Newfoundland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Roger would say Newfoundland.
Right.
You know, with his crazy pronunciation from Canada, and he's just there goes Kathy Lee right now.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There's three questions you have to answer before we let you go today. Are you ready?
Fire. They're quick and easy.
They are quick and easy. Question number one: what was the first beer that you remember having? And you don't have to tell us how old you were when you had it.
Miller High Life.
Nice.
Okay. Very good.
Coors Light.
Coors Light. Okay.
Silver Bullet. High Life.
Very good.
All right. I could see that.
Okay. Tony, you want to go with number two?
Oh, I always forget the questions.
What is your favorite?
Oh, that's an easy one. Yeah. So we don't ask what your favorite beer. What's your favorite style of beer right now? I think Earl's mentioned his before, but what?
Well, my favorite style right now, I used to be, all hung up on our pale ale, the Kolsch, easy drinking. And then we recently bottled a Helles style lager called Longfin and, 4.2% ABV. Tons of flavor. We can it. We bottle it. I'm absolutely in love with that beer.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I know I'm going a little long.
No, you're good.
If you walk into our tasting bar and if you ask for an Earl, they'll give you a half pint of Longfin.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's called an Earl.
An Earl. I drink halves because they stay cold.
Mm. Okay. Very good. All right, Chris.
Just favorite style all around?
Yes, favorite style.
I really like, besides a lot, he totally stole my juice on there because our Longfin lager just kills it. Just nice, refreshing. I mean, sitting there watching football or after a long day's work. But Ambers and Browns, you know, couple overlooked styles, I think, and kind of our own amber. Really, really, I can drink that beer all day long.
The Calico.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just the food quality of it. You sit down for lunch and have a burger and just it pairs so well.
Or perhaps
with it,
a fish taco.
Or PAX fish taco. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Tony, you want to give him the wind up, closer question?
I won't be able to, put it as eloquently as Jennifer. So why don't you take it?
Okay. Well, obviously I'm not going to do as well as Jennifer, and she had to step out for a minute. So, but she'll be back in just a minute. Mm-hmm. So imagine you're on a deserted island and there is a magic refrigerator, and this refrigerator will fill with only one beer, but it keeps refilling while you're there on the island. What beer would that be?
This one right here.
We got a few.
Right,
enemy of radio. Tell them what you're showing us.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a whole face built for radio games. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Still,
please.
You will always find that beer in my fridge. You come to my house alongside some Ballast Points. Sierra Nevada will always be in the fridge.
Excellent.
Just Pale Ale. Celebration up here coming soon.
Yeah.
It's not here yet, but it's a month, right? Early November.
Actually, about a week.
Oh, is it? That's
Plus, they just announced that their spring seasonal is going to be the beer that we collaborated with them in the beer camp across America. So, Electric Ray, which was
that was
IPL.
Really good. Yeah,
they reached out and contacted us a couple of weeks ago. We were under the impression that they were doing another mix pack,
right?
In that electric ray would be in it. And then they corrected us and said, no,
nope.
The entire package is going to be electric ray, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is.
Colby was getting ready for another bus ride. Yeah. Just about ready for it.
Ready to roll. Awesome. Okay, Earl, yours. Magic refrigerator. One beer.
I'm telling you, I'm a homer, man. You know, Longfin Lager.
Okay.
Yeah. And I also want a bottle of Ballast Point 3 Sheets Rum.
Okay. All right. Well, you're on an island. Sure.
I got coconuts, man. I'll bust open a coconut, fill it with rum and drink it.
Great answer.
Awesome. You know? Awesome. All right. Well, I think you have done your duty.
Yeah.
You've answered the questions three. You have successfully tried some of these beers, and we thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah. I know you guys are road warriors.
And yeah.
It's always tough coming from the West Coast. So thank you for sitting down and having a beer here.
Definitely. Earl Kite, who is the Chief Commercial Officer from Ballast Point, and Chris Marin, who is the Regional Sales Manager in the southeastern part of the U.S. Thanks, guys.
No, thank you. This is great.
Thanks for having on this award-winning radio show.
Award-winning.
Oh, did they win an award, Chris? What award?
GABF.
Oh.
GABF.
Yeah. Well, actually, the North American Beer Writers Guild. Yeah, yeah. So, and that was announced at GABF. So we were very excited about that. Thank you for...
Oh, I thought it was the coolest thing in the world when Tony told me that last night. That's super awesome.
We're excited.
That's right. So now we get to say award-winning podcasters. Maybe we should put that on our cards.
Oh, I don't know. I don't like to boast.
Tony Waldrop, award-winning podcaster.
Right. That's a long title.
Mrs. Waldrop, what do you think? Should we do that? Let us know. All right, guys. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks.
Thank you.
What a lot of fun we had with those guys, huh?
They're wild. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was sad I had to... back slowly out the door.
Yes, but you did it well. I bet nobody really noticed because you were so quiet.
Well, Tony was doing his impression of me during the three questions. Oh,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, that was.
I don't have an impression of you.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is he kind of blipped on him, so I had to I had to jump in there.
That's not my bag.
How long have we. This is episode 77.
I'm usually way tuned out by that time, part of the show.
I even asked you if you remember them.
Yeah.
Those guys.
We thought you could step up to the mic there, but.
That was fun. Chris did promise we're doing a tour of the Dirty D, Durham, next time he's here.
Oh, that'll be great.
I actually was out this past weekend. Yeah. It was Beer Fest weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Also Shikori Hills, which was great, but if you like to get hailed on.
Uh-huh.
Went into an old school pool hall that's been around for a long, long time.
Okay.
And they had a new sign, now serving Sculpin.
Nice.
And I went to get one and it was gone. And the guy said, that's the fastest case of IPA we've sold in a long, long time. So
wow.
It was fresh and it was gone by the time I went to get a second one. So it's already spreading here. Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, you were able to scarf one or two Sculpins so that we could have a little beer while we were the news and the feedback section.
Probably going to keep that one up here, I think.
Yeah, it's a permanent.
Yeah, it's a keeper.
Yeah.
Definitely keeper. So, honest to God, folks, you want to try an unbelievable IPA, Sculpin.
Mm-hmm.
And they do other IPAs, which are fine beers.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say, this is one of my – I put this up with Racer 5. Mm-hmm. Just phenomenal California
it's
beer.
Fun.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I think we have feedback. We got a lot of feedback. Ready for it?
We have a lot of feedback.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get into
feedback.
It.
Craft Business Daily, Jen Litz. She was here virtually last week. And she tweeted at us, lots of fun, good questions on today's show. Cheers and congrats on the award. Did I mention we were the Silver Award medalists announced at the GABF? No, the GABF didn't award us, but it was the North American Guild of Beer Writers.
Who did have a table at the GABF.
Yep, they did.
We won silver at
the GABF. Exactly.
All right. In that same... theme, we heard from at Andrew Gill, and he said somehow missed our award at NAGBW podcast awards. Go to What's on Tap third place, at Tales Cask second place, and Strange Brews first place. Congrats.
So Andrew is with Strange Brews. Great podcast. Check it out.
So he was Strange Brews. He won first place. I don't know how you missed that. We were very excited, and we replied back, congratulations, Andrew. Awesome podcast you guys do. Check it out, and gave them a little shout out, and he was nice enough to respond back, thanks. I'll be sure to check out your show too. So maybe we can have Andrew on.
We can have some log rolling. We'll have a crossover episode like we did with Fitz and Mike.
Mm-hmm. A merger. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
A one-week merger.
We have to start thinking about our fall sweeps.
There you go. Yeah. That's right. It's coming up in November. Yeah. So we'll have to reach out to Andrew. Yep. Imagine this is like that episode of Batman when Batman and Robin and Green Hornet and Kato combined forces in one of the great crossover TV shows of all time.
Or more recently, The Simpsons Family Guy.
Exactly. Two weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be tremendous. You can be Fonz on a jet ski and there's a shark and you're going right over. That's what we're doing here.
Who's the Fonz?
The Fonz is
here on the show. Are you calling? I'm the Fonz?
I think so.
Does that make you Richie Cunningham?
I guess.
With the beard? I don't know. Although Ron Howard does have a beard.
Yeah. I just want to be Al.
Yeah. You want to be Al? It was Rosa Coletti. Was it 34 or 35? 35, Al. You youngsters go back to Netflix and find that episode. It was more than one. Yeah. Yeah, Al Molinaro. Okay. All right, moving on. Golden Spiral Media. That's our good buddy, Daryl. He asked us, are we keeping up with at Zeppelin Driver and at Lost Fringy, friends of the show, particularly Zepp, who's a regular contributor. And we love Melissa, Lost Fringy. She's awesome. And we responded that, of course, we know what Zepp is up to. And Daryl was alluding to the fact that they had a meetup, a GSM meetup, Golden Spiral Media, in the UK in London. They were having a pint, and he hashtagged us, hashtag not fair, hashtag feeling left out, as now we did.
Yes.
We responded.
Thanks for letting us know. We were also left out.
Yes. And so Zeppelin taunted us by saying, keeping it light with an English bitter, hashtag GSM meetup. We told him it was not fair at all to enjoy one for us. And we did point out the label that was in the picture that he tweeted, said it was an American red rye behind it. And, I hashtagged, what did they serve me? Cause it seemed like a little false advertising if he thought he was getting an English ale. His response, 'twas the English bitter version of an American red rye, thin head, low carbonation rye. Finish.
Fin to win.
Yep. So we asked him if he liked it. Hashtag ready for the UK Zeppelin trip.
Ooh.
And his response?
Yes. Refreshing despite low complexity. Let's make this a stop on the Europe tour. Hashtag start the Zeppelin.
All right. We're holding him to that now. Yeah. You heard it. Yeah. That was hit. It's on the Twitter now.
If you talk about it enough, it's going to happen.
It's got to happen. Definitely got to happen.
We're ready. We don't have any festivals for a while, so.
Be careful. Don't jinx it.
Yeah, that's right. You never know. Okay.
At Craft Biz Daily, just the other day, I'm now a religious At Tales Cask listener.
Yay, Jen.
That's so much fun talking about brands, including at Saugatuck Brew, at BP Brewing, of course, Ballast Point Brewing, and more. We had fun. That was a great episode.
And I feel kind of left out now because Jen was able to try the Saugatuck Brewing. I forget which one she had.
It was like the pepper one.
Yes, the pepper one. Love to try that. So anybody up in that area and you get over to the brewery, let us know what you think because that sounds like something we would definitely want to try. Yep. I think one of her uncle got cheated out of that beer. Isn't that what she said?
Yeah, her uncle who also cat sat for her. So
that's right. Sorry, Aunt.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alrighty. We had the cask quiz last week, which was what's your fave California beer? Got a few responses. Mm-hmm. We heard from at Dave McGrunnell, and he says, before I forget this week's cask quiz, favorite CA brew would be at Stone Brewing Company, R&R Coconut IPA. Wish they would brew it again. That sounds awesome.
I missed that one. Have you ever had that?
No.
That sounds really good, though.
Yeah.
And I'll just shout out to Dave. Thanks for chiming in. Yeah, I believe he's a new
one. I was a new one.
Mm-hmm. New one for us. So welcome, Dave.
Yep.
Okay, MGEL. Wouldn't be a show without MGEL choosing to come in. And he says, many to choose from, but at BRBC Brew Racer 5 IPA for sentimental reasons.
That's cool.
Our Bear Republic friends. We just mentioned them scant minutes ago.
Yep.
For that Racer 5.
I have one for sentimentality about every day.
So. You've been a very sentimental guy when it comes to Bear Republic.
One last night, actually, at a local watering hole.
There you go. Okay. Very good.
Alrighty. We heard from at D Wheeler 379. And he says, at Tailscask, at Firestone Walker, Union Jack, but haven't tried Parabola or Alesmith Speedway Stout yet. So.
Have either of you guys had Parabola? I have not.
Got a little kicking around here.
Yeah, we have. There is some that
someone
supposedly
some?
Made.
Yep.
Made it back from California.
I see. And is it going to be something we get to try together, or am I shut out of this
one? We might have to.
Oh, your guess is as good as mine. I'm not the key holder here.
Yeah. Okay. Is that Hoda?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I remember it being purchased.
Yep.
I see. Okay.
Now, Union Jack, I will say, just a note on that. It's like the third time.
Yes, that's been mentioned
we've
before.
We've heard this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you look on, and this is copyright 2012, if you look on the website here, that is listed as my favorite IPA.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Over Sculpin Eraser 5. That's high praise indeed.
It's a classic. Maybe it's the can't get it factor. I don't know. Every time I have that beer, it blows my head off.
It's kind of like smoking the Bandit because they weren't bringing the beer over from Colorado.
Beer in Texarkana.
Yeah.
And they're thirsty.
And they're thirsty in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Watch old Bandit run.
Jerry Reed.
Yeah. Oh man. You gotta love Jerry Reed.
He's the man.
He is awesome. Look here, son. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. We got a couple of Facebook responses too. We heard from Jake Potter. Hey, Jake. Good to hear from you. Can't pick just one. So let's go with Alesmith X and Stone IPA.
Great go-tos.
Solid choices.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Thanks, Jake.
You saw the Stone news last week.
Yep.
Yes. A brewery in Richmond, VA.
Correct.
Yeah. So excitement for the people in Richmond. What a surprising locale.
I thought so. They had it narrowed down to, four or five cities, and they did a pretty cool video, actually, if you look it up on their website about the narrowing down process and how cool everybody was. I mean, South Carolina passed a bill.
Oh my gosh.
That changed everything to get them to entice them. But Richmond won. We're 3 hours down the road. So
there you go.
Sure. Our travels will find us in that brew pub.
Road trip.
Brewery.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I can be in Richmond in 2.5 hours.
Really?
Depending on traffic, obviously. You get on 95, you never know what you're going to get.
Mm.
Okay.
Right. We also heard from RT Cerveza. And they said Stone Arrogant Bastard.
AB.
Another good one.
A classic, I think.
Mm-hmm. Grapefruit.
Yep.
Delicious.
Really is. Very good. Okay. So that brings us to this week's cast quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And this week's cast quiz is a good one. What beer are you going to be drinking during the baseball playoffs? We got the ALCS and the NLCS going on right now. My O's are down two, but I'm feeling good.
I think
we'll come back. We're coming back. Giants and the
tough.
Cards.
Giants are a good-looking squad.
They are. Open. But the Cards have got a great storied baseball. I mean, only behind the Yankees in terms of World Series victories. So lots of excitement. There's going to be a long-time return from the AL, whether it's the O's or KC, and then two storied baseball franchises from the National League, Giants and the Cards. What are you going to be drinking at your beer event for baseball? Okay. We also had a feedback from Facebook. We heard from Hops and Branding, and they ask us, using your experience as distributors and bar owners, well, we don't own a bar, we just have a bar.
We just have one?
Yes.
We own it.
Yeah.
Well, true. We own this bar, man.
We don't run it.
We're the mayors of this bar. I'd love to hear you all talk about the importance of branding and design as it relates to craft beer. Cheers. Okay.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
It's kind of
broad, but I think for sure design has become more and more important in now that there's so many craft brews out there. It's almost getting to be like wine, where you do want your labels to stand out.
Yeah.
But no
cute animals.
That's
a wine thing. Cute
that's
animals
a wine
with funny names.
Here's what I will say: when you're naming a beer. And more importantly, the style of beer. If it's not, I see a lot of what doesn't work, if you ask me, is styles that are, hey, I made this IPA. I'm calling it an IPA, but it's not hoppy like all the other IPAs. I see this a lot now.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And if you are calling your beer an IPA or an amber ale or a scotch ale, make sure you have that kind of in the same vein as the other ones of that style, because you have one shot with the consumer when they buy that
beer.
And I think that's important too. Sometimes, it's becomes a little hard when you do have a very busy label to see what kind of style the beer is.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. Kind of goes along with what Tony was saying is if you're going to call your beer something, have it taste like that and also have it pretty noticeable on the label.
Yeah.
I think
I look at,
that's like, how you get your first time purchasers.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I look at like a beer, one that always comes to mind, like Victory Golden Monkey. People don't know the style.
Mm-hmm.
They just know they like it because of before, you know.
Yeah.
It's a higher ABV beer that's been around a long time. It's an awesome beer.
Right.
But they like it because it's this perceived high alcohol thing, even though there's a million other
right
beers. Mm-hmm. I think it's so.
It's not the cute monkey.
It's not cute monkey, no.
Okay. I want to make that clear. It's the beer. It's not the monkey.
One of the best kind of stories that you can refer somebody to this is the, we've talked about it on the show. I think Don and Ethan were talking about when Tony McGee was getting started with Lagunitas. You know, you had Sierra Pale Ale going on. You had, they were the pale ale. People would walk into a bar in San Francisco and say, give me a pale ale.
Right.
And it was Sierra Nevada. So he said, let me try that with IPA and just made it even more simple. And it was black and white mm-hmm. IPA on the tap handle. And so they've stuck to that with it, been around 20, plus yeah, years yeah. now, and they're still, the labels are still the same. It's,
yep.
you know what you're, the names are weird and they don't really stick to a style, but branding, I think, is important and gets overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what, absolutely.
Kind of my final thought there, I guess.
Okay.
All right. But good question.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
For sure.
Thanks for, checking in with us, Hops and Branding. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. Okay. Well, what's coming up?
What's coming up? We've got going on right now, actually, a few beer weeks. We've got 6th annual Baltimore Beer Week happening the 10th through the 19th. Also, Cleveland Beer Week, the 10th through the 19th. We do have locally in November on the 15th, we have a pretty cool festival that's going to happen on Harget Street downtown. We're going to have a famous brewmaster in from the Czech Republic. And we will allude to that more in the coming weeks. But
okay.
If you're in...
God, no.
If you're in Raleigh...
Nay.
And you do want to come out, I believe the Tales crew will be out there. And,
in force.
And we will be tapping a giant 170-liter wooden barrel of beer freshly flown over from the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
I read that wrong. I thought it was made of wool. That makes more sense.
It's not a woolen barrel.
Okay.
That's why it's going to be so hard to.
That's an awesome time of year.
Outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
In
so.
Picturesque setting.
More info to follow on that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to that.
Brew Diligence will be there.
Yes. And well, they'll only be,
yes.
There'll only be one location.
That's so right. And
you'll know where to find us.
So all you local guys, MGEL, Guy Spare, you know, come join us. Zeppelin driver, you're only 3 hours away. Come on. you can fire up the Zeppelin and come on down for that. Yeah.
Yep.
We'll take you on a neighborhood ride. You'll enjoy it. What else do we got?
We've also got, another, a lot of people, cities started their beer weeks 6 years ago, apparently. 6th annual San Diego Beer Week is November 7th through the 16th.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think that's pretty much it.
That's it for stuff that's coming up. Mm-hmm. So it's a little long episode this week, but I think you will find lots of fun and beer goodness. And we really appreciate you listening. And I think I hear the klaxon. So before we get out of here, how can you get in touch with us?
I would use the cask line at 919-502-0280 or at Tales Cask on Twitter, at Tales from the Cask on Instagram, which I love to check out all our followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of beery goodness there.
A lot of beer fun. Yeah.
We need to post some more Instagrams, actually.
Yeah, we've got some in the chamber.
In the vault.
Yeah.
Okay.
TalesFromTheCask@gmail.com and our every Friday updated website, TalesFromTheCask.com.
Okay, very good. Once again, thanks everybody for listening. I will say I hope that your locale, wherever you are, has not turned into a tropical rainforest like apparently Raleigh, North Carolina has. It's going to be fall soon. I'm ready for some fall weather. Mm-hmm. So all I say is please stop raining for a few days.
Yep. Or please stop raining for the next 45 minutes while I deliver this keg.
Yeah.
I'm going to deliver some Berliner Weiss to myself at a local account from Foothills, a one-of-a-kind keg.
Nice.
This evening.
Sehr gut.
Yeah.
See you next week.
See ya.
Don't forget to tune in again next week. Same bat time. same bat channel.